Let us turn to the Word of God. I'm going to read to you from Matthew 15. Beginning with verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I find this to be one of the most challenging and difficult passages of the New Testament. And this coming Sunday is Ash Wednesday. And for those of us who know church tradition, it begins the season of Lent, the 40 days where Christians reflect upon the God that they believe, the God that they confess. And may they, through this time of reflection, truly come to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is their God, not just in their tongue, but in their heart. And this passage speaks to us about what it really means to have faith in our God. But like we've sung earlier, when storms come our way, when mountains block the passage that lies in front of us. So let's go through this passage together. And along the way, maybe open our hearts to let our Lord Jesus speak to us. Do not harden our hearts by holding on to previous ideas, previous conceptions. Do not come to this place saying, "God, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." Come and say, "Lord, do a work in me today." Let us prepare our hearts, just as Christian tradition teaches us, that we really come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ means in our personal lives, in our hearts, not in our tongues. Amen? Here we are told that leaving the place where Jesus had been ministering and where the Pharisees and teachers of the law had been coming to him and challenging him, and he had said, "These guys, they are very good with their words. They say all kinds of nice things. They honor me with their lips. But then, where is their heart?" And so the Lord Jesus knew that the time was soon approaching when he would be going to the cross. And so he retired to a place with his disciples in the region, in the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. Now, this is the first time recorded in the scriptures, in the New Testament, where our Lord Jesus had moved away from Palestine and into alien territory. The region of Tyre and Sidon, where in the Old Testament, it was the land of the Philistines. And so we discover Jesus had gone away from the crowds. Why? Because he wanted to spend time with his disciples. He was not interested in people who said they believe in him. Even the demons believe, brothers and sisters. Is that what the Bible says? He was interested in people who believed him enough so that they would be willing to follow him as his disciples. So he wanted to spend time with his disciples to impart into them the truths and the teaching so that when he had accomplished his mission, they will continue with his ministry until the end of the age. And as our Lord Jesus was in this region where he didn't think people would know about him, a Canaanite woman came to our Lord Jesus. Now, who were the Canaanites? The Canaanites were the original inhabitants before Moses brought Israel into the promised land. They were the ancestral enemies of the Jews. And yet, what was it that moved this woman to come to Jesus? For all intents and purposes, you could have considered him to be a stranger in this foreign land. And yet this Canaanite woman came to our Lord Jesus. What moved her? In a parallel passage in Mark chapter 7, it is written that she had heard about Jesus. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 7, verse 25. So that you can see for yourself. I believe that the scripture has more power in speaking to you than my words, even though I'm louder than the word there. In verse 25, it says, "In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet." So this woman had heard about Jesus. Now, what she heard about Jesus awakened faith in her heart. Because we are told that works of Jesus, the miracles, the signs and wonders of Jesus, even though he had worked it upon the region of Palestine, reports about him went everywhere. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, you will understand what I'm saying. I'll begin with verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now, verse 24. News about him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those who had seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Now, when the Bible talks about Syria, it means the Roman province of Syria, which included Palestine and all the other parts and bits and pieces of that region of the Middle East. So this woman had heard that Jesus had come into her area. And she heard that this was the same Jesus whose fame has spread all over the region. He had such authority. He has such power that he had power over sickness, over disease, over demons. And she thought, wow, this is the answer to my daughter's problem. What was her daughter's problem? The daughter was demon-possessed. And if the demon is in her, none on the face of this earth had the ability, had the authority, had the power to remove the oppression of the demon over that person. Because only God has power over the devil. Right? Human beings, you and I, you can't even see the demon. How do you fight him? And so this woman heard about Jesus, that not only did he heal the sick, but he had authority to drive out demons. And so she said, I'm going to make my way to see him, even if I don't know him, and even if he doesn't know me, I'm going to bring my problem to him. And here is one important expression of faith. If you have a need, call out to the Lord Jesus. Bring the problem to Him. As I've said to you many times, prayer is an expression of our faith in Jesus. Amen? Those who do not pray to Jesus don't know Him. As simple as that. And so, when this woman, having heard about the reports of Jesus, she hung on to the good news that was to be found in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. She did not know the person of Jesus. She didn't even know what He looked like until someone said, "He's living in that house. His name is Jesus. He came from Nazareth." And so she hung on to the good reports about Jesus, and based upon the good reports of Jesus, she made her way to this stranger, who is no stranger to her in terms of what she had heard about. And so she came. And the moment she came to Jesus, she humbled herself before Jesus. You see, if we really believe that Jesus is God, there's only one way to respond to Him. Don't say, "Hey, Lord Jesus, show me your power." Some people come to church. "Lord Jesus, I praise you, I think." If you know your God, you will humble at His feet. The moment she saw Jesus, she fell. And she said, "Lord, Master, Son of David." What does Son of David mean? Not just he's a descendant of David. Son of David to the Jews was the title for the promised Messiah, the God who will come to save. And the calling card of the God who will come to save, God their Savior, the Messiah, is found in Isaiah chapter 35, where when the Messiah comes, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, and the lame will jump with joy. And so she acknowledged that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus is that Son of David. Jesus is the one who will be the answer to her problem, because she had heard the good reports about Jesus. As a reminder to us, she did not turn to anyone else. She did not turn to the 12 who were with her. Who was with Jesus. She did turn to no one else, but straight away she focused upon the one and only, the Lord Jesus. This morning, perhaps you may have come with a problem. You may have come in a situation where you find yourself unable to exercise control. You may have turned to this person. You may have turned to that person. Brothers and sisters, may I say to you, turn to Him and Him alone. He alone is the Messiah. He alone is the God, our Savior. He alone is Jesus of Nazareth, with authority and power to break the power of every demon and every devil. So, back to this passage here. She comes to Jesus and says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." She's pleading for mercy. She's not saying that, "I've been doing well. I've been very careful. I've been doing all the good things. I've been making my offerings. I've been giving my tithes." She didn't say anything about her works. You see, everything that comes from God is entirely out of God's grace. So coming to God, coming to Jesus, is about trusting in Him and His goodness. So Sue, I'm so grateful that you've sung about God's goodness. It's not about how deserving we are. It's not about how worthy we are. It's about, "Lord Jesus, I've been coming to church Sunday after Sunday. You better listen to what I say." That means you don't know Him, even though you've been coming Sunday by Sunday. What is it all about? It's about knowing the grace of God. Amen? Because nothing that we do entitles us to one little dot. The Bible says every work of ours is like filthy rags. Those were the filthy rags that the women used once a month in Old Testament times. She came and she asked for mercy. When we come to God, we come to trust in His goodness. We come to trust in His grace. We do not rely on our piety. We do not rely on our good works. We do not rely on our good grammar. Doesn't matter if you can speak good English or bad English, good Chinese or bad Chinese, God hears every language. Here she comes, and she asks for mercy. And she looks up to Jesus. She looks up to Jesus. Verse 23 says, Jesus did not answer a word. She had heard the good reports about the Lord Jesus. She had heard about the wonderful things that He had done to everyone who had come to Him. The Bible says, not a single person did Jesus asked to go away without meeting their need. And yet, here she is, right in front of the person that she's heard about. And yet, He doesn't seem to reply. The Bible says He answers not a word. Powerful silence. Stop for a moment. She comes desperate. She comes knowing that no one can help her. No one can deliver her daughter from that demon possession except this man that she's heard about. And yet right in front of Him, the man who's had this good report, He doesn't seem to be moved. He doesn't seem to answer a single word. It seems as though whatever she said, He did not seem to register. If you were that woman, what would you do? Oh, I must have heard it wrongly. Fake news. I'm going to go away. What would you have done if your sincere, earnest prayers seemed unanswered? There was not a single word from Jesus. What would you do? She had come believing in the good news, and she's met with silence. She's come believing that He is the light who has the power over darkness. And when she comes, she doesn't see the light. How would you have responded? She had heard about the good reports of Jesus performing signs and wonders and miracles. And here she's asking for just one little one for her own daughter. And He doesn't even seem to answer. What would you have done? This woman's life example here is written as an instruction for us. Is that right? Because if it's not meant for our instruction, if it's not meant for our to teach us, it would not have been recorded in the scriptures twice. And so the silence tells us something. Turn with me to Psalm 46. Thank you, Sue, for singing the song. She didn't know I was going to preach this passage, by the way. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Sometimes it is so easy to be presumptuous, to think that we know our God. Sometimes it's so easy to be presumptuous. Well, I know this scripture passage. I've been going to church Sunday by Sunday. I've been going to life groups Monday by Monday. And yet not know the God of the Word. You may know the Word of God, or you think you do. It's in your head. It's on your tongue. But it's not in your heart. Today I'm speaking about having God in your heart. Be still and know that I am God. If God is God, He will be good to you. If God is God, He will be able to deliver you. If God is God, He will be able to save you. If God is God, He is worthy of your worship. If God is God, He is only of worth to you if He is your God. Amen? Doesn't matter if God is good. If you don't know Him, His goodness doesn't come to you. Doesn't matter if God is almighty, but if you don't know Him, His might, His power doesn't come into your life. Be still and know that I am God, says the Word of God. And if you know Him, you will discover that He will be exalted amongst the nations. And if you know Him, you will discover that He's worthy to be exalted on the face of this earth. Brothers and sisters, let's pause for a moment. Imagine yourself like that Canaanite woman by her side in front of Jesus where there is silence. And ask yourself, do I really know Jesus as God? The God who is good, the God who is love, the God who is merciful, the God who is just, the God who is righteous, the God who will vindicate those who belong to Him and trust in Him. Brothers and sisters, if you know your God, now you shall know your victory. Amen? And so let's come back to Matthew 15. When she heard not a word, then she heard words. Words from the disciples. Now these men who were with Jesus, they had the authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick. And they had been empowered by the Lord Jesus, given the authority of the Lord Jesus to go around to the different towns and villages that Jesus was going through. And they were able to do what He did. Luke chapter 10 verse 17 actually says they even had the authority to cast out demons. And now these disciples interceded on her behalf. And listen what they said. They begged the Lord Jesus. They urged the Lord Jesus, give her what she wants and send her away. Now, when you just read send her away, sometimes you get the wrong understanding that, Lord Jesus, she's making too much noise. Get rid of her. No, it doesn't mean that. It means to say, Lord, whatever she wants, give it to her so that she can be sent away. So here were the disciples interceding for this woman. She thought, oh, how good. Now I've got someone to support me. And yet what happens? She is not met with the answer to her prayers straight away. Instead, she gets further disappointment, thinking that the intercession of the disciples will help her get her answer. She perhaps have hopes raised up, only to discover Jesus says something that deflates her hopes. Listen to what Jesus says. As she was kneeling, as she was crying out to Him, verse 23 says, Jesus did not answer a word, so His disciples came to Him and urged Him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. And they listened to the answer of our Lord Jesus. Jesus answered, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus now, previously, not a single answer, not a single word. Now she turns towards her, looks at her in the face, and speaks to her. And he says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, if you were that woman, how would you feel? Having no answer and then having got the disciples to intercede for your behalf. Now you get, I was only sent for the lost sheep of Israel. What a setback. What a rebuff. Would you feel rebuffed? Would you feel discouraged if he had such an answer from the Lord Jesus, it is as though he's saying, look, I'm here for Alfred and Nicole and not for you, David, sorry. Does it seem like that? It seemed, to me anyway, it seemed as though Jesus was rejecting her. It seemed as though Jesus was dismissing her. Is that how you feel? She had heard of the good reports about Jesus. She had heard that Jesus is good. He's a good man. Wherever he goes, he brings good news. To the blind, good news was being able to see. To the deaf, the good news was being able to hear. The lame, the good news was being able to use the feet again. And to the dumb, the good news was that tongue could speak. And for those who are demon-oppressed, the good news was they were set free from the devil. And here, having heard the good reports, he says, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. What a challenge. What a challenge. Here was this Jesus in front of her. And she heard these words. Her faith and her confidence, was it misplaced? Brothers and sisters, what would you have done? Like I said, this passage was written so that we may learn from her. What did she do? She did not give up. She pressed on. She held on to the good report. She held on to the good report about Jesus. Now, please take a note. Jesus did not say yes or no. Is that right? Jesus only made a statement. I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus simply made a statement, because if he is the son of David, if he is the Messiah to come, it is that he will fulfill all scripture. And the scripture says the Messiah will be sent to the people of Israel, and having accomplished the atonement for the whole world, having accomplished the promises that God had made to Abraham, then the blessings will come to all nations. But it must first begin with Israel. Jesus was making a statement. Sometimes we take a passage, sometimes we take a verse of scripture in isolation and we bash it and say you can ignore it. Whereas we should be interpreting the verse from that sentence from that passage from that chapter from that book in the whole context of scripture. Don't simply take one piece here and one piece there. Oh, blah, 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 hoop, hoop, oh. Oh, and Judas hanged himself. Oh, okay. And go and do likewise. What should you do? It's so important to interpret scripture by scripture. This is what is taught to us by Martin Luther himself. And men's net, what do we call it? Reading the Bible verse in the context of scripture. See where it sits in the scripture. See how it sits in life. And so Jesus made a statement. And we sometimes, not being very careful, misinterpret it. When Jesus came to fulfill all the promises of God. And all the blessings of Abraham flow to us who are Gentiles. Why? Because God had made the promise to Abraham that Abraham would be the father of many nations, not just Israel. So here was this woman. She hears the words, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. She did not understand, perhaps, what Jesus said. Perhaps she doesn't have a full grasp of the Old Testament. Certainly, she had no New Testament to hold on to. She was not a theologian. But one thing she knew, she had heard about the good reports of Jesus. She had heard about the good that he had done. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, and Jesus was anointed by God, by the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good. Jesus went about doing good. This woman, she may not be a great theologian. She may not know the scriptures. After all, she's a Canaanite Gentile woman. But one thing she knew, she had heard about the good reports of Jesus, and she hung on to the reports of Jesus. She hung on to the what was said about Jesus. She hung on to the good news, and she held fast to it. And so, even though Jesus said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel, she only knew one response. If it means humbling myself more, then let me humble myself more before the Messiah. And verse 25 says, the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me. Same prayer. Now, even more obvious than before, we are told she knelt herself before the Lord. When you pray to the Lord Jesus and your answer doesn't seem to come your way, what do? You press in closer. Amen? You press in closer. If it means going onto your knees, go on your knees. When you come to church, it's okay to go on your knees. When you come to church, it's okay to lift up your hands and worship God and pray to God as the scripture prescribes. Those who do not know will not realize that the scripture says, lift up holy hands. This woman, one thing she knew, when nothing seems to come her way, hold on to the good report about Jesus, and she humbles herself and kneels before the Lord. Same prayer, Lord, help me. Three words, Lord, help me. And what happens? Now Lord Jesus enters into a dialogue with her? No. He now makes another statement. He says, in verse 26, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Now the proper translation is, it is not fair. Here Carlos is translated as right, but it's actually in the context meaning, it is not fair to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And so, a seeming further rebuff, further discouragement. We know the words is written here, it is not fair to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. But perhaps we may say, we don't know the tone in which it was said. We may not know the attitude in which it was said. Maybe it was said, Jesus smilingly says, are you sure you know it is right or wrong? Sometimes we can say, no. Or we can say, no. Is that right? The attitude and the tone can be different. We do not know the attitude. We do not know the tone. But what we do know is this woman's faith is being tested. Brothers and sisters, sometimes our faith is being tested when our answers do not come straight away. The Apostle James says in James chapter 1, when we are tested, what should we do? We should count it as all joy. Why? The testing is so that we may be mature in Christ. In being tested, we should persevere. In our perseverance, we demonstrate our spiritual maturity. And when we are seen to be spiritually mature, we will have everything that we need. It is about trusting in God, holding on to God, not looking at the circumstances, but holding on to the Word of God. And so, Even though our Lord Jesus says, it is not fair to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. To you and I, it sounds, my goodness, I'm compared to a dog, am I? Whoa. And in those days, to the Jews, dogs were sort of like unclean, you know. So, whoa, Lord, it's hurting. Not fair. What about me? How about being fair to me? Is that right? Sometimes we say, it's not fair, it's not fair. Well, how can you say such words to me? It's offensive. And we take that to heart. And we, in being shifted, in being distracted from what Jesus says, we now lose our focus. We lose our connection to our God, which is faith. Reference to dogs, reference to being not fair. Oh, it's painful. Like I said to you, I find it even hard to preach this passage. I have to make sure that every word that I say is not wrong, theologically speaking. Why? Because many of us go through hard times. This passage reminds us, no matter what hard times we go through, no matter what difficult situation we go through, and the toughest of situations is when you think you're right with God and God doesn't seem to answer your prayers. Is that right, brothers and sisters? You've been faithfully serving God. You've been faithfully obeying the word of God. And yet when you pray to God, the answer doesn't seem to come. What do? We hold on to our God because it's all about walking with God. If not in this life, at least in eternal life. Because life on this earth is temporary. Amen? Life on this earth is temporary. We are not permanent residents here. We want to be permanent citizens in heaven. And so, this woman, she hears those, like, rude words. Compare me to a dog. Aww. But she is not focused on herself. She is only focused on the daughter's need. She's not focused on her feelings. She's not focused on her hurts. She's not focused on her discouragements. What is she focused on? She's focused upon the answer to her need. And so she says, yes, Lord Jesus, you call me a dog, that's fine. But even dogs have crumbs. So I'm happy to feed upon the crumbs. You know what something? That speaks powerfully. That speaks that I am not concerned about what other people think I am. I am so convinced of the goodness of God. I am so convinced of the majesty of God. I am so convinced of the infinite wisdom and the infinite grace and the infinite mercies of God that just a little crumb that falls on my way will be good enough to be the answer to my need. Hallelujah. It's about knowing how great a God our Lord Jesus is, brothers and sisters. You hear me? Once you know how great a God is, His infinite wisdom, His unsearchable riches, just one drop from heaven is good enough. Just one touch of the Master is good enough. You don't need many crumbs, just one crumb will do. This was her attitude. You call me a dog, I don't care. You give me a crumb, it's good enough. All I need is a crumb from the table of the Lord of heaven. Brothers and sisters, this is the kind of faith that Jesus wants us to have. So what does our Lord Jesus say? Our Lord Jesus says, verse 28, then Jesus answered, woman, now here he's not being rude. Woman, gunai means lady. Now he's showing, he's recognizing that she is a woman of nobility, spiritually speaking. Woman, you have great faith. Hallelujah. You see, all this while, Jesus was just testing her faith. Sometimes when God doesn't seem to answer you, He's giving you the opportunity to grow in perseverance. He's giving you the opportunity to grow in maturity. So in being spiritually mature, you lack nothing. Amen? So not only did she get the answer to her request, she also had great praise from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not only did she get the crumbs from the table of God, she was brought into the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, here's a reminder to us that when it comes to faith, when it comes to answer to prayer, don't give up. Amen? Don't give up. Why? Know your God. If you know your God, you will not give up. If you know your God, you will hold on to the word of God despite overwhelming odds, despite overwhelming circumstances all around you. Even though the enemy comes like a flood, you believe the Lord will be your banner over you. Once the scripture says in Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast to our confession of hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Amen? Let us hold fast to our confession of faith in Jesus Christ without wavering. When we feel that our faith is wavering, what do we say? Lord Jesus, I feel it's wavering, but my faith shall be steadfast. Speak it with your mouth. When the devil says, are you sure? Are you sure? He says, devil, I am sure. I am not going to waver. Speak with your mouth. Because life and death lies in the power of your tongue. For we share in Christ. If only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. Hebrews 3, verse 14. It is not about once saved, always saved. It's about believing in Christ and holding on to our confidence to the very end. This woman discovered that her faith in the good report of Jesus was indeed true. How? She had faith awakened in her heart when she heard the good reports. There was no reason for the people to lie. There was no reason for fake news because people were being healed, being set free all over the region. And when she heard that, and she held on to that, and when she went to Jesus, even though the circumstances did not seem like what she expected, nevertheless, she held on to the report that Jesus was good. He's a good man. He's a faithful man. He's faithful to his promise. He will not disappoint. And as she held on to that good report, and humble herself, and humble herself, and press on in her prayer. Why? Because she was desperate. She knew that no one else could turn to answer her need. The same way, may we recognize that there's no one that we can turn to for life. There's no one that we can turn to who will meet our need. A need for a Savior to save us from our sins. Why do we believe in Jesus? Not because we're going to get a comfortable life. Why do we believe in Jesus? Not because we're going to have a nice, happy place in heaven. Why do we believe in Jesus? Because we need an answer to the poison of sin. Why do we believe in Jesus? Because we need an answer. We need a cure for the cancer of our spirit, which is sin. And when we have Jesus, when we have His goodness, then everything else comes. Because in Jesus is life, in Jesus is hope, in Jesus is joy, in Jesus is peace, in Jesus is eternity with God Almighty. It just so happens that God lives in heaven. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we've heard about you. We've heard of your reports. Now we come before you and we ask that your Holy Spirit will awaken in each of us that same precious faith as that Canaanite woman whom you praise. Because if we have faith as hers, we'll have the answer to our every need. Because if we have faith as precious as hers, we will have the praise of God Almighty Himself. Lord, may we be still before you and let your Holy Spirit speak to us. And where our faith has flickered out of us, we ask that your Holy Spirit relight the fire of faith within us. And where the flame of faith is flickering and struggling, Lord, we ask that you reinvigorate, that it will be fanned into a flame. Let faith arise in us today, Lord. Let God arise in us today, that we may rise up to have faith in our God, as this Canaanite woman did. We ask in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.